All right.
What's good?
Man, listen. I want to get something off my chest.
Get it off your chest.
You know, we got pet peeves, right? We do a pet peeve segment.
Right.
I want to get this off my chest, though. I heard somebody say the other day, they said the phrase, when we humanize people, we lose respect for them. We no longer see them the same before we humanize them.
Right.
End quote. Mm-hmm. The problem I got with that is that what irks me is that you say you humanize people. We're human. So you mean to tell me you're basically saying when I realized that you weren't God, I got mad because I made you God. Well, that's their fault.
True.
That makes me mad. When somebody first puts you somewhere that they want you to be, you didn't make them. And then when you show them that you're human, quote unquote, now they're humanizing you.
Right.
Now they have no respect for you. When they come to realize that you're just like them. Well, when the reality of that I'm just like you sets in, you get mad because I'm not Superman.
But that comes with the territory when you put yourself out there.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And you know what, though, too? Let me say this. I partially agree. Sometimes people do it anyway. The person doesn't want to be.
Well, they can't do it if you're not out there.
Well,
in their life.
In life, that happens, and it's not the person's fault all the time.
No.
I think it's, like I said, that bothers me, though, because I'm like, I've been telling you I was human the whole time.
And you're speaking to this like as a pastor?
A leader.
Leader?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a leader across the spectrum as a leader.
There are, I guess there are, you know, people that think that you're supposed to have a certain, behave a certain way or do a certain thing. But, you know, the real action is the call of duty, you know, to be active.
Right.
To serve.
Right.
To what are you doing?
Exactly. What are you bringing
God,
to the table?
God faces you today and says, what did you do today to serve me?
Right.
What have you done in the past week
exactly.
to serve me?
That's what counts.
Yeah.
And those
questions have to be asked first.
Exactly.
Because the other stuff is like what they call a math problem. The math problem, the common denominator.
Right.
We all have them.
They all have them.
It's human issues.
It is, dude. Yeah. But my thing is, even in serving, and I've served as a pastor and still do, I go down to Metro, which I'm going today.
Right.
In doing that, in me doing that, I try to maintain meekness and humility. And I tell these guys, hey, I'm not the one that's going to save you. I'm just telling you about him.
You're a vessel.
Right.
Yeah.
So in turn, most people, they don't know how to understand or grasp that concept because they think they're looking for a functional savior. They're looking for somebody tangible.
Right.
And when you're not that,
right.
they're disappointed.
Thinking you're Jesus Christ.
There you go. That's my point, coach.
And I'm not. You're the vessel.
I'm just
Jesus
the vessel.
Christ.
That's it.
But you're not Jesus.
Exactly.
You're not perfect.
I just wanted to get that off my chest, brother. And to all leaders, whether you are a pastor, a father, or whatever you are, you know what I mean? Maintain humility, and you can't help it when people put you where you never asked to be.
Well, you putting yourself out there, so that's one thing that's in your favor, obviously.
Right.
For people to be able to do that, you got to be able to be doing something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to be doing. So like you said, what do we do for God? What have you done for God lately? So that's what counts.
Yeah.
And so today I get to go to Metro, too. After we do this, I get to go down to Metro and encourage
and you
those
check
guys.
The box.
There you go.
You go on about your day.
And go on about my day.
Yeah.
That's it. So, I just wanted to get that off my chest, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
All good, homie.
Thank you for that. Shout out to you.
Give us some theme music.
Yeah. Welcome to On and Off the Field, sports podcasting with a purpose. We got you on the field, Coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation, a.k.a. Maine Black Bear, a.k.a. I See Lion, a.k.a. Academic Advisor to this next guest.
Oh, a.k.a. the Hawk Tour. Seeker. Listen, it's your Off the Field, Coach. It's your boy, Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Coach, we back. A.K.A. Mr. Football Know-It-All. We in the building, y'all. Listen, what's up, Coach? Episode number 12.
Episode 12.
Listen, man. Louisiana legend.
A Louisiana legend, Gerald Honeycutt.
Shout out.
I got a chance to meet him. He was playing at Tulane.
Okay.
When I was hired as the academic advisor.
Right.
At Tulane.
Right.
And so he was one of my players that I got to counsel. And
so really, you counseled Gerald Honeycutt.
Yep. Yeah.
Bro.
And vice versa. We counseled each other.
Yeah, gotcha. But still.
Right.
Iron sharp as iron.
Yeah. Iron sharp as iron.
Sharpens each other's right. Countenance.
That's right.
Yeah. That's good. Wow. That's good, bro. I'm excited about this, dude. We're going to hit him up in a minute. But I got the you know, let's we got to do the Clash Town opening segment. Woo! Hey, listen. Y'all got to know. I love these. I do. Some of them I love. Like, you know, we still on the Dallas Cowboy helmet, boy. God,
we got two. We got Dallas Cowboys, and we got a special shout out to a new listener,
right?
And she's a Seattle Seahawks fan.
Oh,
so we're gonna get them in.
Let's get to it. What should you do if you find three Dallas Cowboy fans buried up to their neck in cement? What should you do? Get some more cement. I totally agree with that one right there. Oh my goodness.
Why do the Dallas Cowboy fans keep their season tickets on their dashboards?
Why?
So they can park in handicapped spaces.
All right, dude. All right.
Seattle Seahawks.
Special shout out to a special Seattle Seahawks fan. Here we go. What is the difference? Oh man, how you got me on these people helmet like this, dude? Listen, this is my this is my disclaimer. I do not have anything against the Seattle Seahawks fan before I see. What's the difference between a bucket of and a Seattle Seahawks fan? What's the difference? The bucket. Oh man. I would give it that. Don't get mad at me because I like that.
Look, I took my broken vacuum cleaner back to the shop because I had to get it fixed. Boy.
Yeah.
They put a Seattle Seahawks jersey on it, and now it sucks again.
Oh, my. Listen. Oh, my goodness. All right. That was some good ones. So we're going to have some new Seattle Seahawks enemies, dude. We really are.
It's all good.
We're going to have some.
We can talk Super Bowl victories and losses.
Listen.
That's what we can talk.
Where were you when they ran that play on the 1 yard line against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl instead? And they had Beast Mode in the backfield.
I don't know where I was, to be honest with you.
Did you consider the game over?
Yeah,
I thought it was over.
What I said was, I was like, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? Because I'm thinking they're supposed to run the ball.
Right.
But when they threw that and the way that they angled, and I'm a D-back.
Right.
So when I saw the secondary, I'm like, why are you? No.
He got the inside. He's right there. He got the inside right position.
There. Yeah. Oh, man.
That was awful.
Look, man.
Who called that play? Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson? Or did Pete Carroll call it? Or did what happened?
I ain't going to hate on Russell because he's with Steelers now, so I'm going to say Pete Carroll called it. I'm going to blame it on Pete Carroll.
I believe Pete called it.
Because Russell's a Steeler now.
But Pete a gambler. He's right. Always got right. Chewing always that gum
right.
And gambling. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's been that way since. Yeah. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. No, listen, it's time to get. Can we?
Let's call him.
Let's get him, man. Let's get him on the phone. Let's get him on the line.
Let's see.
We're going to try
with a Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be all right.
Hello.
Good morning. Is this Mr. Gerald Honeycutt?
This is Pete.
Good morning. Welcome to On and Off the Field, sir. This is your sports podcasting call in, and we welcome you on the show. We got Coach.
What's up? What's up?
We got Coach Owen, you know. Good to have you on the show. How you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. And yourself?
Good. Now, can you hear us well?
I can.
Okay, good. We can hear you good, too. We can hear you really good, too. Okay, welcome again. Listen, we got the one and only Gerald Honeycutt. Welcome. We got to give you a proper, you know, introduction, man. We got to give you a proper introduction. Yeah. Coach, we got Coach O on here. Listen. Let's get, Coach, you want to say something to him before we get into it?
Hey, no, we're going to get it started. Let's get it right into it.
Let's get this started, Mr. Honeycutt. We always have our questions now. We start out with this.
Okay, okay.
Who is your favorite NFL team and why?
I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, even though I was born and raised in Louisiana. Because I'm from Ruston, Louisiana, I was closer to Dallas. So I didn't come up with the most. So our regional games actually were Cowboy games. Even though we were in Louisiana, I've always been a star, baby.
Did you ever consider New Orleans?
No. Like I have players, because I went to college there. I know a lot of guys that play for the Saints, and I support those guys. But as far as my team, no offense, I'm always with them boys.
Them boys.
Gotcha.
That's what's up. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a new coach for the Dallas Cowboys or a new owner?
I'll be honest, man.
That's a deep breath. That's a deep breath you took now.
I'll be honest. I would be happy getting rid of both of them. And I really feel like.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Man, look, with the surf, like, they give him. You know, holds a lot of credit for the surplus of talent we had. Man, we lost a lot of talent in this free agency. And we ain't replaced it with
nothing. And we're replacing with nothing.
And we don't really see, like, what kind of owner and coach we have. They can say, oh, Mike McCarthy, he's had all these 12-win seasons. He should have. Look at the talent we had. But I don't feel like we maximized the talent.
Right.
Why do you think they took all that talent that we had on the team to watch?
Right.
You know, man, a lot of those guys we had were, for whatever reason, weren't playing where they should have played in the schemes they were using. I just felt like it was more marketing than really using our talent.
Mm. But look, Jill, I got to ask you this. You know, I got to ask this question, right? I got to ask you this. Can just be honest. You know, is Dak it? Is Dak the man?
Why wouldn't he be?
Well, talk to me. I'm just asking. You know, is he?
Here's the thing. And I hear people always love to criticize that because they love to criticize the Cowboy. And I get it.
Right.
Like, do we really want to? Like, it's crazy. We live in this generation where people want to say, oh, forget the numbers. It's the reason they keep the numbers. You can't just throw out the numbers. And you got to look at what he's done. Now, I get it. Oh, they say he ain't had playoff success. But look at every stat that rates a quarterback and look what he's saying. Like, it was mind-blowing that we talk about, you know, oh, he led the league in interceptions last year. No, he didn't. Josh Allen did. Go look at the stats.
Right.
Josh Allen led the league in turnover and interceptions, and he got to cover Madden.
Right. Yeah, right. That's another double standard.
That is another double standard.
Yeah. But I tell people, it ain't even double standard. It's just a misconception of the facts. They're like, this is a fact. You can go Google who led, and it's gonna say it plain today.
Right.
So now, what they'll say is, well, if Zach would have played more games, he'd have had more. You can't say that.
Right.
Who
would
say he wouldn't have had more touchdowns?
Right.
You have to go by what the facts were.
Well,
the facts were at the end of that season, Josh Allen had more turnovers.
Right. Right.
I get it. And I tell people, this is what I tell people when it comes to that. I say, you find me a backup who's better or a free agent is better, and I entertain the conversation.
Wow. Okay.
I had to ask that. I feel that. A lot of people do that. Right?
I had
even
to.
Cowboy fans.
Yes,
and sir.
Because it's questionable.
But it's not questionable when you're not emotional. A lot of these people are emotional.
Right.
And I remember Andy Dalton.
Right.
I remember the quarterback carousel when Dak went down with the ankle.
Right.
That's why they had to go on playing that time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember again when he hurt the hand when we tried Cooper.
Right.
Cooper Rush. And the defense did their job.
Right.
Oh, Cooper Rush 4-1 against who? The first meaningful game he played, he had 3 interceptions all year. Same game.
Hey, Gerald, I hear your heart for them Dallas Cowboys.
It's beat.
I hear your heart beat for them Dallas Cowboys. Listen, so
hey,
I know
man,
you.
I beat for common sense.
So I know you're from.
Bro, like you got to be common. You got to have common sense. You can't be emotional, man. I'm not emotional for me.
Right, you're right.
Logic.
So you're from.
Logic would tell me a better choice. I'm listening.
So you're from Louisiana, I heard. Where'd you go to high school in Louisiana?
Grambling. At the time, my high school was Grambling State University Laboratory School. It was actually on the HBCU campus of Grambling State University.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can imagine how the chain that was to be a high school All-American.
Man. Wow.
On the HBCU.
Wow, that's fire. Yeah, so you was getting the college life at a high school kid.
As a high school kid, man. They left there with the college in New Orleans. It's just, I've been blessed, man. I've had a nice life.
Let me ask you this. What is your best memory from high school?
Ooh, wow. That's tough because I've had so many, like good and bad. And it's like, okay.
Hold the bag for the next question.
Okay, because I had, in one summer, I won an AU championship, national championship. This one, there was only one national, but your state's represented.
Uh-huh.
And you go to compete against all the states in the U.S. that had AU teams.
Yeah.
I won a state championship and national championship at 16. And that, like, that set the tone for my, you know, McDonald's All-American, of course, I had a pretty decorated high school career. So that probably was that summer. The summer of my sophomore year was probably the best. Because even though we didn't, in 16 and under, we won national. I played with the 17 and under, we got fourth. But I mean, I asked some, you know, guys like Chris Webb, Corliss Weeks, and I got to play against some big time talent. And it's really when I felt that I had arrived.
Okay.
Louisiana,
okay. Nice. So, wasn't nice. Actually this. What was one of the dumbest things you did in high school?
I want to say it was dumb. It was just like I was like most young men when I said dad's being consistent. I had a lot of anger, and it wasn't that it was dumb. I just had a situation my junior year.
Okay.
That really could have like it could have went bad. Like it was on that level. Allen Iverson and his situation.
Oh, wow.
I'd hang out expelled from school. You know, someone almost lost their life. Mm-hmm. I was the person that almost took their life. Like, it, and this was the same summer when everything was going good. The exact same summer. So I had the best summer and worst summer.
Wow. The same summer. That's interesting.
Wow. Wow.
Mind blowing. And so it's one of those things, man. Thank God for grace.
Right.
And you really, like I got it early with counseling. I know we, it's black men don't always advocate for counseling, but I really think it did a lot for me. Because I, not to say that I still didn't have some issues, it just had to be worth it. Like I had a tip that I felt like I had to be whatever I had to be every time. Like it's okay to walk away from nothing. It's okay to not even want to be a part of nothing. Like growing up in that HBCU environment and partying, you had to be, I want to go to this part or that part. It's okay to say, hey, man, I got a future. I got stuff I'm building.
Right.
I can walk away from that.
But it's easy to get wrapped up in that, though.
It is.
Yeah, it's easy.
Very easy, especially with success. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, with being a guy that young in the middle of a college campus, and I've been 6'8 since I was 10th grade. I didn't have an issue with the ladies' attention. I live a good life for a young fella.
Why did you choose Tulane?
Well, it's also the other part of the incident. Like when that incident happened and they got out from certain coaches, a lot of schools backed off before they got out of the mix.
Ah.
It was a situation where some guy tried to jump me. Self-defense. I defended myself. It just almost cost one person their life. But long story short, I ended up making my list from the schools. They hung in there. You know, they knew what kind of kid I was. I've always been on the road student in high school. That's my only incident running with the law. So the teams that really stuck by me, those were the teams I had like my top five. Just what happened at the time. Tulane was doing the posse. Arkansas was doing 40 minutes of hell.
Oh, wow. You know,
both black coaches, both styles of play that mirrored kind of what we did at high school.
Right.
So my thing was, I like to visit so much with Arkansas and Tulane. A lot of people don't know this. Only people closest to me know. I actually flipped the coin.
Oh.
I was so happy to be with both of them. I just felt like I'm less safe this time.
So you had to flip a coin?
I had to flip a coin.
Wow.
I saw Coach Nolan a couple of years after I signed with Tulane. I actually wanted to sign on my Arkansas visit.
Oh.
He was like, nah, you got one more, take your last visit. You know, we don't want to rush. I'm like, nah, I love the guys. I love Fayetteville. They kind of reminded me of a bigger version of Ruston.
Right,
I was like, man, I wanna be here. He's like, nah, take your last visit. Wow. Last visit to Tulane to New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
My goodness. I visited in the middle of the Suno and Billet graduation.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So like being in like HBCU heaven again.
So tell us about the FSU shot and the rest of that night. You remember the FSU? Tell us about that.
Man, it's crazy because everybody feels like that shot was just, I mean, it was something that, you know, it's going to rain. It's going to live for a long time. I actually went on an ESPY award for this shot.
Wow.
That's what's up. That's
what's up. Yeah, clap right quick for you. ESPY award. Yeah.
And it was, what's funny though, it was during Mardi Gras.
Ooh.
We had the game. So, of course, you know, we after the game, we excited to Florida State. We about to go party. Nope.
Teddy
Hall.
Let me finish telling the internet story. I missed the shot, so I didn't see it because I was in study hall getting everything ready. The season was getting ready to, they were getting ready to travel.
Right.
And we had, you know, grades was coming out, and it was either you were eligible or not eligible. Right. It was an either or situation.
Right.
Coach, we got a study hall. We had tutors and all sorts of people that were there to help, you know, to get everything situated. They went and made that shot, an ESPY shot, came to study hall till 5-6 in the morning.
What?
We stayed all night.
Yeah, you had to, though, right? Yeah, wow.
That's what's up. I know you party straight to study hall.
Straight to study hall.
Party. Wow.
A lot of people like, nah, he lied. I said, man, you wouldn't believe it.
Straight to study hall.
Man, it was. I still see that shot and get goosebumps, man. It was just like
it was one of those things.
It was funny. A couple of those guys I played with overseas.
Oh, really?
We joke about it all the time.
Wow.
They're like, man, it's one of those things. You like when the turnover happens, and I picked it up. They just like, man, come on. Right. They just like, you see certain things in the game. You just know, like, it's not gonna go good for you.
Wow!
And we got mid-flight because they saw the line of the ball because I shot it right in front of Florida State's bench.
Wow!
And it's funny, as I go back and watch it, you can see guys' body language like, "No, it's not." And they can see it online to go in, and when they go in, it's just like, "Oh, it was something else."
It took the air out of the game.
It was a hell of a feeling, man.
Can you do an imitation of Coach Clark?
Nah, Coach, my man. Man, you know, Coach just went in the Hall of Fame this year, man.
I know.
He got inducted in the Hall of Fame. Coach, good people, man. And Coach will tell you, man, I was, like I said, one of those kids, man, when I first got to New Orleans, man. Mm. You know, felt like the world was on my shoulders and had a lot of anger and stuff I dealt with. I was, you know, a young father. I had my first child at 19.
Right.
So I just, all of him, especially Coach Julius Smith, man, that's my guy. You know, me and Coach Clark, bro, hey, but Coach Smith, we just talked yesterday. That's my dude. Mm. And he helped me with understanding fatherhood and balancing your time and being too much. Because I had some years that, like, man, it felt like the world was on my shoulders. Like, you know, right. When you're young, you feel like, man, I'm going to go anywhere. I'm going to be successful. We're going to win.
Right.
Well, when you get there, you get the reality that you might have a good team, but there's so much more depth on teams. I tell people, it's not all about your five. It's about your depth. And you start saying your seven, your eight, nine, tenth. I used to tell people, I put our fives up with some of the best teams out there.
Your problem
is, if one gets in foul trouble, somebody gets hurt, what happens after that? And I really felt like because we had a lot of young guys that played early,
mm-hmm.
It was hard to recruit after that class. So we had four freshmen that came in with us. We all played and were a big part of our teams every year we were there.
Right.
Just myself, Richard Allen, Corey Childs, Chris Cameron, all played a major part.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to get guys to come in. You had freshmen that were already a big part of what you were doing because they just felt like they weren't going to have an opportunity to play.
Mm. Okay, good. Hey, this is my daughter Mary's Nerd Nugget Fun Facts.
Yeah.
Jarrett was drafted in the second round with the 38th overall pick by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah.
Tell him.
All right. Where were you when the segment, this is the Where Were You segment, all right? We have to get hand claps for this, all right? Where were you when you were drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks and described the feeling?
This would be hilarious. I actually was at the liquor store.
What? What?
No. I always felt that a lot of people felt I should have been a lottery pick. I definitely thought I should have been a first round pick. But when I didn't go in the first round, I was just like, man, bump this draft. I'm going to the liquor store. And I never knew my mom was just like, like my mom let me have it. She felt like, you know, that's your problem, man. You know, you do too much drinking, and you are like, mine's going to be all right. Because, you know, people don't know. Like, it's always a blessing to be drafted.
Right.
But
yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed. Only thing guaranteed is the first round. But whether you're drafted or undrafted, when you're in the second round, it's all about you still have to make the team.
Right.
So I was like, man, I go and I come in. When I got back to the house, they had gave me the news that, you know, Milwaukee, I didn't even take my cell phone with me. I was so dejected. I had failed so far in the draft. I didn't take my phone with me.
Oh.
So when I got back, it was like, Milwaukee draft, they ended up calling and we talked. And I just, once I talked to the coaches, and I had a great workout in Milwaukee. And they always said, because they were trying to work out a trade with Houston. Houston had three. They had two in the first round and one at the beginning of the second. And I always felt like, you know, being a Louisiana kid, if I could play for Houston, that would have been a dream come true.
Right.
And when they drafted Roger Rowe, like, we worked out together. And I, like, admonished him on the workout. So I'm like, oh, if he's the guy, I know I'll be there. And that's the one thing all of them would say. Well, if you're around, we're going to take you. If you're around, we're going to take you. I was around, and a lot of them passed. So when we had L.A. Summer League at the time, I was on the chair out there, man. I was kind of on the, all y'all that passed, y'all got to see me now.
Mm.
And it was a good experience. So yeah, I was, man, that was a rough feeling. Because like I said, to go from being a projected lottery pick to fall at that deep in the second round, it kind of stung a little bit. And I get it.
Like, yeah.
That's part of it. You know, you lace them up tighter and you get back to work.
That's right.
Yeah.
This next segment is called Coming Out of the Tunnel. It started actually by you, Rick, when you was interviewing my dad.
Right.
Take us in the locker room before against a game against a big time opponent. How do you feel? Like, what was the game that you kind of got yourself really psyched up for?
Most psyched up game I got up for probably was Louisville in Louisville my junior year.
Okay.
I ever anticipated the game because that was going to be our last opportunity to play in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure, like, I played there my freshman year long. I was like, I wanted to make sure I never went into an arena and say that I never won in this arena. Like, the only place that I went through that with was Cincinnati.
Right. And
Danny used to give me the blues for it every time I saw him because we had at least two games that we played them that were supposed to be the game. It was just sickness, you know, to be there and battle.
Right.
And one play determined the game like that. But you're probably between them or the Fab Four of my freshman year.
Okay.
You know, I kind of and like Coach O was saying, I kind of pictured even when we interviewed McKinley Boston, his dad. I just pictured the hype of him coming out of the tunnel, like, you know, like Coach O was saying to you, and like I see nowadays, you know, now it's, we got media and more cameras now. You know, they in the back and the, you know, behind the scenes, and I can see like when the players come out of the locker room and come down the hallway, you can see sometimes celebrities around. You know, you see celebrities every now and then come to these college games or, you know, these professional games. That kind of atmosphere. That, so I kind of picture that, you know, as a fan, that could be kind of hype.
In New Orleans, I mean, folks, our home arena, man, it was so pumped in there at the time we played. It was kind of like I had to be. I had to calm myself down.
Wow, man, you that's what I'm talking about.
Hey. With that noise and that level,
yeah,
like I got to do stuff to calm down. So when you go on the road and the fans like, I always felt I played better on the road because I fed off the energy of
right,
the crowd,
right?
And with them talking noise and trying to do stuff to get you out the game, like I preferred that more than being at home because I just man, that crowd had you so pumped at home, man. You do something.
Right.
5 feet long.
Is that why you have more turnovers at home?
Exactly. You out there, I used to call it the sugar high. You out there,
right.
To the adrenaline, and you trying to do stuff you know your butt should be doing.
Should be doing, right.
Instead of trying to pain.
Right. So you calm yourself down.
As I got older, I learned to calm myself down.
Right, right.
Freshman, he played some of the guys. A lot of people don't know this as a freshman. I played every pick of the lottery except Lindsey Hunter.
Whoa.
And Tulane.
Wow.
If you go back and look at the lottery for that year of the draft in 94, Tulane played every lottery pick except Lindsey Hunter. And a lot of people just didn't know Lindsey Hunter was going to be a lottery pick.
From
Carlos Rogers to Jalen Rose to Juwan Howard.
Wow. Yep.
Amon Murray, Jason Key, I mean, you name them.
Some tight.
We competed against.
Yeah.
We had and that was one of another reason that I had Tulane so high because the strength of schedule was out of this world. And that's right. What I tell people. People always want to pick schools for the wrong reason, where the kind of shoes they wear.
Right.
Where they're located.
Okay.
I wanted to know the competition we were playing and how many TV games we had.
Right.
If you're playing enough TV games against the right competition, you get to showcase what you bring to the table. And the more teams get to see you, of course, the more you're going to be on people's radar as far as getting to the next level.
Right.
That's right.
So listen, this segment is called Travel Through Your Eyes. Let us take us somewhere through your eyes. Tell the listeners a memorable destination that basketball is taking you, somewhere that you just, take us there.
Oh, wow. I've been blessed. My team's people. There's probably two continents that I ain't walked on. One of them is Antarctica.
Okay.
Like, I've been blessed. I've had a passport since I was 15 with basketball. So, man, I've been everywhere. Greece, Russia, Beirut, Egypt, France, Manila, Korea, China. Like, it's hard to miss me. The places I've been able to go
right
and play basketball, and I've been blessed, man.
Wow. I can only imagine. Well, this is called the Final Drive. Sports Jeopardy.
Final Drive Sports Jeopardy. We're gonna chop it up with you now.
Tighten up, Jill.
All right.
Here we go.
This is our WNBA segment. Okay.
All right.
You got two tickets to the ESPYs, but you have to take a WNBA player as a date. Who are you giving the other ticket to?
You about to get me in trouble.
We need it. Come on, man. We need
man,
this.
Look, it's going to be Asia, man.
It's going to be Asia?
Yes, sir. Asia, yes.
All right. Now, here's another crazy one, right? Would you eat two stuffed cockroach tacos for $100,000?
That's the question?
Yeah. Would you eat two stuffed cockroach tacos for $100,000?
Nah, man, I'm a pass.
But listen, in some countries, cockroaches
delicacy.
Are a delicacy. In France, I was in France, Marseille, France. In Cannes, France, okay. they a delicacy.
I mean, they eating snails.
Yeah, so
how did they taste?
I didn't eat them.
I didn't.
Exactly, so you're from the U.S. You're not from France. That's my point exactly. You saw roses, man.
Shout out, man.
Blue Bag Music segment. What is your favorite rap group of all time?
Favorite rap group? Oh, that's it's my favorite rap group. Ooh, that's tough, man. You know the kind of groups we had in our era, man?
Of course.
I can't pick one, man. I was from the South, too. Like, what?
What? Come on. Outkast. Outkast.
That's what I'm saying. One, I can't do one. UGK. Man, you got to think.
UGK.
8-Ball MJG.
8-Ball MJG.
Outkast.
You feel me?
Hit 'em more. Like, it's NWA. Like, our era in groups. Come on now.
Yeah, like, yeah. We dominated.
That's a loaded question,
bro. I love it. We dominated that era.
Fair enough.
We
dominated.
No, right. Man. Group? And yeah. That ain't even talking about like the woo woo and you know, the woo on the way on the evening. Yeah. So I'm like, it's just, come on.
It's too many.
Too loaded right there.
All right. All right, Joe. We got to do a tongue twister segment right here. All right. I'm going to say it. And I'm going to say it. And I need you to say it just like me. All right. I'm going to say it first, and then I'm going to let you say it. One smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellow felt smart. Four smart fellow felt smart, and they all felt smart together. Say one smart fellow felt smart.
Okay. Go ahead. See, I got a disclaimer yesterday. I don't feel like this shoe was the setup.
Okay, once.
LB told me. This is not part of the disclaimer.
Okay, look.
One smart fellow felt smart.
Yeah.
Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellows felt smart, and they all felt smart.
Oh! Yeah, right there. We gotta get you.
I ain't saying as fast as you.
Yeah, I know, because that's how you're fast. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
good.
That's what I'm doing.
Shout out to you for that. All right.
All right. What is your favorite meal of all time? You need a last meal. What do you want?
Last meal.
You sit down, describe what's on your plate.
Okay, I'm going to have a little fried catfish.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
A little mac and cheese.
Ooh.
With collard greens.
Ooh.
Yams.
Ooh.
And some red Kool-Aid.
Oh, listen.
And I'm a die happy man.
I love it.
Right there. Listen, I need that plate. I need that plate right now. Shoot. Hey, I need that plate. All right, listen. You know, we got to ask you this. Everybody talks about it. LeBron versus Jordan. Okay. Talk to me. LeBron versus Jordan.
Man, I got to tell people, man, I grew up a Mike guy, right? And it's just, like, I think it's, man, it's hard, right? Because you think of the things that we say. The first thing we say is 6-0, 7-0 teams, right?
Okay, yeah.
Let me know what I mean. Undefeated, no seven, game seven in the final. But that goes to how great the Bulls teams were.
Okay.
But I think a lot of times we separate their greatness by a team accomplishment.
Okay.
Like the stuff that LeBron's doing, man, like I tell people, And no disrespect, like, for the longest, Kareem was my GOAT, because it's not a resume you can put up next to his mics included. It should even be a conversation. Because the GOAT, like, what people forget, GOAT stands for greatest of all time.
Right, right.
Not of the NBA, not of college, not of high school. It combined. So wow. Since your name is synonymous with basketball, you have to have been that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And I feel like Kareem is the only one that's been that dude. Like, Mike got cut in high school.
Right. He did.
Did the GOAT get cut in high school?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even, like, I still feel like Kareem, and think about this. Like, people made a fuss at how LeBron broke Kareem's record. LeBron shot threes. Can you imagine how many bucks that is?
Right.
For a guy like Kareem that didn't shoot threes?
And LeBron, didn't have no threes.
And LeBron 6'9 shooting
come
threes.
Come on, man. Yeah. Come on, and it's so, like, and I love them both. Man, I hate that they compare them because it's like, I'm just forced to pick.
I need you.
I gotta be 100. I'm gonna take LeBron.
Okay, that's what I need.
I tell people, you have to do a hybrid for LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pick one person and say, "Oh, that's Bron." Like, you gotta put two together. You gotta be like, "Oh, that's Magic and Jordan," mm-hmm. or "That's Scotty and Carl." Like, you gotta put somebody together to come up with LeBron and what he's doing. And like for the time that he's done it, I tell people, man, it hurt stretches. And which he's not my age yet, but like I remember being 40. Like I retired at 38.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't score 20 points again.
Wow.
And that's, to me, that's like less than 20. Like that's, it's time to shut it down. And this dude's 40.
And he's still balling.
Wow. And against the best of the best.
Wow.
Now, he ain't overseas playing in second division. Like he's in the league with the best of the best. Like I tell people, something happened where they say, oh, they find this new age steroid. I said, damn, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no other way. Like, there's no way to do it. You know what he's doing. And it's underappreciated the way it is. It's a tragedy.
Oh, man.
It's unheard of.
Right.
But I was like, that's the only way I can explain it. They'd be like, hey, man, they got some new thing that he got a hold too early. And that's why he's able to do what he did for so long. What you think about people?
Take this out. We got another.
People have stretches.
Oh,
like, I'm sorry. Y'all saying like people have stretches. Like T-Mac had a stretch. Kobe had a stretch.
Yeah.
You know, Steph had a stretch. Like people have stretches. Man, this dude literally has had errors. Like they went back and broke his career down into like every team he played with. Like early Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland again, L.A. And he's been top five in all of them. Like that's unheard of.
Right, yeah, right.
So yeah. I just feel like I like to appreciate all the greats, but if I have to put my feet to the fire, I'll be honest, man, I'm gonna go
okay. All right. Okay, respect. New segment. It's called Sorry Not
Sorry.
Yeah. This is where we call them out.
Okay.
All
right.
Think of, on all your teams, who had the smallest 9mm in the shower on any team?
Pause on that. I don't know who's doing meat watching. We didn't do a whole lot.
We didn't know meat watching.
Not that I knew of.
He said you know meat watching.
Nah, watching meat in the shower.
Eyes up.
All right. It's all about the relationship segment.
I don't know about
that. All right. Here, we got another segment. It's about the relationship. All right. Name your favorite teammate. Wow. Name your favorite teammate you play with at any level.
Oh, wow. It got to be my guy, Rayshard Allen, man.
Rayshard
Allen, man, in Alabama. That was at Tulane.
Mm.
He and I got a high school friend that we've been, man, probably since seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Friends. He's the best man in my way between those.
Okay. That's what's
my
up.
My favorite, man.
Okay.
What Rayshard did for me coming to New Orleans, I mean, we still in contact today. And like I said, my guy Matthew Livingston, shout out him, man. We've been boys since seventh grade, man. We close friends to this day. It's just those two would probably be 1A and 1B.
Thanks.
Okay. That I play with.
Rayshard was a cool dude.
Okay.
I knew him well.
Okay. Oh, man. Great brother, man. Yeah. Whole family, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guy right there.
What was the basketball conditioning drill you hated the most?
Oh, Lord. We had a drill called the Larry Brown.
Mm.
I don't know if anybody remember this, but, man, you start with it. 1:06 on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You're running full length of the court. You got to do that 11 times. Take the 6 seconds off, you got to do it 10 times.
Oh.
Take the 6 seconds off, you got to do it 9 times. It's 2 groups.
Mm.
You go the bigs, you go to guard, and you alternate, and you count it down all the way to, I think, 15 seconds. And in 15 seconds, you got 3 down and back, and 10, and 1 full out sprint and 5.
Why did they name it the Larry Brown?
This is all Coach Clark always has ever called it. And my thing was, I didn't have to hear a name. I hear 1:06 on the clock. It's just like, that's everything I'm also. So we had some drill. He said, 1:00, he can tell you the drill. You go, okay, we got a 17 on the sideline. Or we got 5 down and back. But when you heard 1:06, it was no mistake. It was coming. So you couldn't tell the train to put 1:06 on the clock.
Wow. Wow. All right.
You know what, man? Guards on the other end.
Do you remember where you were during the Hurricane Katrina?
Actually, unfortunately, I was. I was in Japan. I had 2 kids that were still in the war, my oldest 2 at the time.
Mm.
And I was in Japan, man. It was it was a sick feeling because at the time I had saw on the news, they were showing it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I could recognize certain landmarks that were where my daughter and son lived. And that was the longest 2 months of my life, man.
Wow.
They were fortunate enough to get out, but it was just, me being overseas and not having my U.S. phone, I had no way of reaching out because I was terrible. I ain't gonna lie. If I can't read it out my phone, I wouldn't know a number to save my life.
Mm,
so
right.
Without having my U.S. phone with me in Japan, there was no way for me to contact them, you know, to check on them, let them know I was, you know, thinking of them. And my heart was going out to their family, even though I wasn't with their moms.
Right.
Man, that was a rough feeling.
Wow.
Wow.
What is your favorite go-to drink? You go to the bar.
Adult beverage or
adult beverage. You go to the bar. What are you ordering?
Libations.
Get my cigars on later. Exactly.
Okay.
I like to put. So I've been doing a lot of like scotches and brown. So I've been getting into bourbon a lot.
Bourbon.
Okay.
So I do a little knob creek. I just recently got one from Vegas. I like a whole lot called Smokehouse. I don't know if y'all are bourbon drinkers.
Smokehouse?
But it's a Smokehouse bourbon. Yes, indeed.
Because
I do Maduro's. I do Dorsey's, though.
Okay.
And
all right.
Man, that Smokehouse is, I get a neat double shot. We roll every time.
Over with.
It's over with.
I got one for you.
We're going to take about three or four.
Who was the sexiest teacher you had in high school?
Oh, wow. I had one called Yolanda Evans, man. And it's funny because she's about 6'1", 6'2". And beautiful, man. She looked like a model, right? Mm. Real slim, petite, bow leg.
Right. Wow.
But she's actually a ball player, right? Mm. So one day we were in class after downtime, and she was critiquing my game. And I'm just like, Miss White, you know, you're like, you're a breaking nail. You out here talking about, well, Evans is a maiden name. White is a married name. You out here trying to tell me how to hoop. You have been broken nail. And the next day she came in with some articles. And I'm like, damn. Like, she got 20-20 games. Like, she actually was a hoop.
Wow.
Like, what?
But she was sexy.
She was sexy?
Man, she bad, man. Still to this day.
Still to this day.
She's a gorgeous woman, man.
Mm-hmm.
She is. This white, man.
Wow.
She was cute. But she was like, if you saw her, you'd be like, oh, yeah, she.
That's the one.
Girly.
Yeah,
she.
This is our
20-20.
This is our pet peeve segment. What pisses you off sometimes about the Dallas Cowboys?
Playing down to their opponent.
Mm.
Like, I don't worry about us in big games. It's the dang gimme games.
Mm.
We notorious for giving away gimme games. We did it with Darren Cardinals. Who else we gave away a darn gimme game? Man, somebody else trash he lost. It never failed. Like, when they be like, oh, I know they're going to beat them.
They play down to the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. I worry about a more A small game than I ever did.
So, look, I got another one for you. All things McNutt. So, you go to a house party, and after a few minutes, Monica McNutt asks you for a slow dance while your favorite slow jam is on. Where is the first place your hands go? Waist, hips, or that arse?
It depends how tall she is.
How tall is McNutt?
Not about 6. She about
6'5".
Well, right at 6 feet, I think. I looked up her stats because, yeah, that's my girlfriend. Monica McNutt.
Monica McNutt.
Yeah, that's my girlfriend. Monica McNutt. She's my girlfriend. My ESPN girlfriend.
I've been Googling Monica McNutt.
You don't know who that is?
Oh, you don't know who McNutt is? Yeah, you need to
know. Hey, listen, if you find out who she is, you're going to change your prom date. You're going to take Asia. You're going to take Monica.
Well, you know what, Craig? I put Monica, and that's the first thing. I remember her. She the one gave Stephen A. that work.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
See, I mean,
That's right.
She found a Coke bottle, Jack.
So where your hands going first?
Nah, I can't. Where your hands going first?
I'm straight cheeks. I'm going cheeks.
Cheeks going to the cheeks.
I'm cheeks all day. You have to give me the chest tap sometimes. Yeah. They gonna just raise them up. You gonna have the chest out, or you gonna have to raise them up, bro.
When
you that tall, you built like that, I gotta put them on the
cheek.
She built, boy. I ain't gonna be house party cheeks. I'm just gonna rest them down the building.
Right down the
middle. Then get him like all.
But that's my girlfriend, just so y'all know.
That's your girlfriend.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so take this out. So as the GM of the Dallas Cowboys, you have the next pick in the NFL draft.
Oh, man.
Which running back are you drafting? Man. Barry Sanders or Tony Dorsett?
Oh, man. Come on. Come on, Gerald. Just do me a favor. Take your time for your answer.
No, I'm dying hard, bro. I'm going Tony.
Oh, okay.
Hey, can I know. Can I tell you something? I'm going to be honest with you. I remember when Tony Dorsett broke his toe. He was moving. He dropped a dress on his toe and broke it. I was so happy when that joker broke his toe. I've been following Dallas. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan, but he was killing the league so bad. Like, he was killing them. I remember the 99-yard run from the 1-yard line, dude. I remember that run like clear as day.
Running away, not like he got a game.
Yes, that was crazy. So he was so good that it made me happy when he broke his toe, when he stubbed it on the dresser. I just want you to know that. he was a beast.
And I love Barry. Like, Barry, one of them, it's like, man, it's so, man, the stuff he do, man, it's unreal. It's like, okay. And he feels affected too, so I don't want people to take this out of context. But it's like watching the N1 mixtape, right? You see stuff that blow your mind, and it's nice to watch, and it's spectacular moves, but ain't nothing like getting to it. Like people say, oh, Emmitt didn't do number one. Man, you better go back and look at Emmitt. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't flashy. Right. He was effective. Like, a lot of people say flash for effectiveness.
Right.
He wasn't flashy by a long shot, but he was durable. He was hitting that hole, and he running through secondary.
Right.
So, I mean, 100. He wasn't getting touched till the secondary. Sometime back, but he still was trucking through them. It wasn't like he was
George
or, you know.
Right.
Back to the big guys that still didn't play as big as their stature was. Like, him was still the back.
You think Tony Dorsett or Emmitt Smith the better running back in Dallas Cowboy history?
Come on, man. I think Tony did more with his hands too. Like, Tony caught the ball a lot. Okay. I don't remember Emmitt catching a whole lot.
I'll give you that. You know what I'm saying? That's fair.
And that Emmitt line.
And Tony behind. And Tony had Emmitt's line.
Oh yeah. Emmitt had a line. Oh my goodness.
That's crazy.
All right. So what movie have you watched too many times?
Too many times.
Yeah, a movie.
The movie I watched the most. That's crazy. I do a lot of movies. You got to think, you talking to a guy that played overseas 17 years.
Right.
So I didn't do a whole lot of movies. I did more sitcoms, like TV shows.
Okay,
like,
give us a sitcom. Like
Prison Break. Prison Break. Y'all ever heard of Prison Break?
Okay, yes. Yeah, that was fine. I've heard of Prison Break. Yeah, dude had to break his brother out of prison. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a good concept.
I wasn't going to the club, but I used to get them on iTunes.
Yeah,
so it'll download to my iTunes.
It's good.
I'd be like, man, I'll meet y'all at the club. I had to watch Prison Break. Prison Break, and they had another on ABC called Lost.
I watched Lost. I fell off on that one though.
I think when the writers, when they had the little writers.
Right.
But when the writers were protesting, it fell off a little bit. But like, I liked it so much, I knew that was the reason. So when it came back.
Pick back up on it. Okay. Yeah. I got to get back on that.
I do a lot of show Heroes. How many guys ever heard of Heroes?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I watched all those. Yes.
I watched a lot of different. Like, and I try to get into like shy in the power universe, but I'm one of them guys, and I lose attention fast. Like, just waiting half a year, like, it's a turnoff to me.
Right. I got
wasting time. I might start one, and season one go awesome, and man, I'm waiting on a new season, and it ain't coming in time. I'm like, man, I never go back.
Right.
I didn't finish Empire. I didn't finish. I think I did. I'm caught up with Raising Kanan.
Yes.
I didn't finish BMF.
Okay.
I did finish Power.
BMF? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm caught up with Tommy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a lot of them, man. They take it so long.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Interesting. Back in the day segment. Describe the feeling the first time you dunked on someone in a game.
Ooh. That was it right there.
Oh my mind. True story, right? It wasn't even really on somebody, but it was like a lob where they were under there. And the crazy part, we were playing in a tornado. And when the guy threw me the lob, I didn't even know he saw me. It was like a 3-on-1. And I was a 4 guy coming. And then he put it perfect. He called my name when he threw it up. When I caught it and dumped it, man, the crowd went so crazy. By the time I touched the floor and got to the free throw line, the lights went out.
Oh, wow.
This is my freshman year. To this day, you can't tell anybody that was watching that game that I just dunked the lights out.
It was perfect timing. Perfect timing.
When I dunked it, like, they flickered. And by the time I hit the line, they went completely out.
That is perfect.
Anybody out there at that game, they'll tell they kill. I have people come up to me for the longest time. Man, he dunked so hard, he knocked the lights out.
Wow.
I just love the laugh. Man. I tell them the truth, but it's just like, you couldn't tell people this.
You can't
I
make that up.
Lights out on
you
that
can't make that up.
Wow. Wow. All right. So what? It's a what if segment. What if the Black Panther fought Spider-Man? Who do you think a win? Who you got?
I'm going for T'Challa, baby.
T'Challa all day.
T'Challa all day.
T'Challa.
Yeah.
The power of the Black Panther would be stripped away. You remember that? The power of the Black Panther would be stripped away.
They stripped him. They stripped him away, though. I'm going to make fun of that. You can't take violence from him, though. That's what Spider-Man. He got to have a violence. He takes the power.
Right.
Who was your Lex Luthor, the toughest player you ever played against?
You say toughest. You mean like my matchup?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, who do you remember just playing against saying, damn, he's
right.
Now, I had some guys that I wasn't guarding them. I was on the floor with them. Mm-hmm. I was just like, damn. Like, you know, like I said, when I was a freshman, we played against the Fab Four. You know, Chris Webber had left, but they feel like Jalen and Juwan and all them. And Juwan, like, Juwan blew me away because he's about 1.5 inches taller.
Mm-hmm.
He had the similar skill set.
Mm.
That was mind-blowing to see some of the stuff he could do. I remember playing, you know, Jay Kidd, his speed was being a 6'5 point guard. Like, it was, man, ridiculous how fast he was with that ball in his hand. It was, like I said, in college, that was probably where the two.
Okay, okay.
Like I said, of course, being on the floor with Mike and watching Mike be Mike and, you know, guys like Glenn Robinson, like I played Grant, so I got to witness that every day. And it's like, it's something to be said for a guy that can come in there with the scoring ability he's had day in and day out. You know, Glenn had this shot he used to call the hitch.
Mm-hmm.
He'd only pull it out for like taller defenders or athletic defenders. You know, guys like Grant, you know, at the time, Kevin Garnett was going small forward. But what he would do, man, he would take it. It wouldn't even be a full pump. Almost like a flinch. Like, you can box a faint. It's almost like he was fainting the jump shot. And by the time they were at, he would be coming out of the faint, man, shooting his normal shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how the hell? He would get guys And the first time he got me, I was like, man, what the shit? You old evil lady. I'm like, man, what the stuff? He's like, man, get out of there. And he said, that's all right. He did it 3 straight 5s.
Wow.
3 months in a row. But I think I'm going to laugh, man. I was just like, God.
Right.
This Lil's not special with this ball. A lot of people don't know, man. He don't get a lot of respect for what he did in Milwaukee, but Glenn, he can score that ball.
Big dog. Wow.
Big dog.
All right.
Bad boy. Right.
Last question we got for you. Which player is the best Dallas Cowboys player of all time?
Who best represents the star?
Who's the best of all time?
You got to pick one to represent the star.
One. We need one.
I got to go with Irvin, man. I got to go with the greatest.
Who you going with?
Michael Irvin.
Wow. I respect
it. It's more so for the combination. It's not just his play, but his motivation, his speech, man. That damn Irvin had me want to put on some pads, man.
Irvin
doing promo, man. Right. I be ready to play, man.
He be crunk, don't he?
He get crunk. Hey, he gonna get you crunk. Between him and that damn race, I ain't never seen dudes that could activate. Like, that's what you do with a little kid. Like, oh, I'm gonna do that. I want to do that. As a grown man, I hear Irvin be crunk.
Let me tell you something.
Really get out there and put some pads on.
Irv was so crunk on set with his suit on, he threw his back out. On set. He threw his back out because he was so crunk when he did his segment. Wow. He threw his back out. They went to commercial. When they came back, they had Irv laying across the thing trying to help him with his back, man. He'd be that crunk. So Michael Irvin, huh? That's what's up. Well, listen, is it any last thing you want to say to the people? The whole world going to hear this. Is that something you want to say to the people? We're going to let you go on this one. What you want to tell the people before we let you go?
Man, I just, like I said, man, I appreciate you guys showing love, man, and remembering the things we do. I think it's I love this new movement where, you know, podcasts and stuff are going.
Yeah.
To where people can get, you know, end up in conversations with guys that have done it, whether it be coaching, playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing, man. I appreciate you guys showing the love.
We appreciate you coming on, too.
To be a part of it.
Absolutely. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Coach, you got something?
Hey, man, it's been good talking up with you, man. And I'm going to call you when the show is over.
All right, for sure.
We got another one. The one and only Mr. Gerald Honeycutt. Y'all. Appreciate you. Take care.
Appreciate it. No doubt.
All right. Later. Take care. All right.
Big time.
Big time. That was good. Yeah. That's up. That's what's up.
So, he's a Louisiana legend.
Right.
NBA player.
That's fire.
Big time AAU champion.
Yeah,
remember Marcus talked about AAU
a lot. Yeah. Huge. I told you I did not realize the impact that AAU had on college on sports. Period.
Right.
It impacts sports. Period.
Oh yeah.
On all levels, because it's a level that leads you to.
It used to be higher. High school, then college.
Right.
But really, it's AAU.
Right.
Is just as important as high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, is AAU, so is it high school, AAU college, or what? AAU college?
It's high school and AAU.
Then college.
Yeah, and then college.
I never realized it.
Yeah.
I never realized that. That was a good segment. That was good. All right.
So the Yoda.
Okay.
So. I was looking for inspiration this week to find out what the Yoda moment could be.
Right.
So I actually Googled some popular verses in the Bible.
All right.
And Romans 8 came out as one of them.
Right.
I've read it, but, you know, I've never really got in, you know.
Okay.
Break it down to me.
In Romans chapter 8, he starts to talk about, he talks about the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how when we don't know how to pray, one of the things he says in Romans 8, one of the things he says is this. He talks about the earthquakes, how it says that the earth has is travailing with birth pains. That's around Romans chapter 8, verse off the top of my head, around verse 20, something like that.
Okay.
And so he talks about the earth travailing, which is what we know as earthquakes.
Okay.
He described it as travailing, but we know it as a scientific term, earthquake.
Earthquake.
So it talks about that because of the troublesome times that we're in. The earth is even travailing, as if the earth ate something that it disagreed with. You know how your stomach gurgles?
Yes.
You eat something?
Yes.
And it, that's what the earth does.
Okay.
When we mess it up, it gurgles. And then we have volcanoes erupt because it got relief pressure.
Right.
We have tsunamis, leaving pressure. Right. So the earth is travailing. It also talks about when we don't know how to pray. Romans 8:26, it says, when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know the words, the Bible says that the Spirit himself God's spirit takes our tears and our heart's cry, and he forms them into a prayer, and he sends it to God, because we don't know what to pray for.
Right.
The spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray for. So that's what a few of the things that Romans chapter 8 talks about. Talks about, you know, just, it talks about the spirit praying for us, and it talks about things that are happening in the earth because of the troublesome times and how things are getting worse and worse. Mm. So, yeah, man is destroying the earth.
Hot.
Yes.
Yoda. Oh! Let's rock and roll, baby!
Y'all, we gonna put a dance. If y'all can see us, we dance.
I'm doing the walk.
He's doing his version of the walk. He's doing Coach O's version of the walk. We gotta let it. Boom, boom, boom. We get Yoda his props. We take the time to get Yoda his props. Not Yoda the guitar. Watch how I go back
in.
Watch this. Watch this. Yoda moment, man. Yoda moment, dude. Oh, my goodness. So, this has been a good episode.
Yeah.
Episode number 12. And Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation.
It's your boy Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Coach Reback, a.k.a. Mr. Football Know-It-All. You know we out of here. Episode number 12.
Peace.